You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
There was a story that I told. This is Dr. Paul Powell's book, but I want to read this. It's relatable. A little boy became a Christian, and he was on fire. So he wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, right? And I'm talking about everybody he met. So one day at the barbershop, he was talking and struck a conversation with a man wanting to tell him about Jesus. And the man, he said, "Sir, are you a Christian? You know, Christ really wants to save you." And the man said, "Son, I will have you know that I am chairman of the deacons at my church." Little boy paused for just a second. He said, "Well, that's okay. Jesus can fix everything." So this morning, I prayed about this deal. I've talked to several of you. Matt and I had a long conversation this week about this, just kind of the direction that as a pastor I need to go. I mean, it's been a crazy year in America. Lots of things going on in culture. I mean, it's just crazy. But that's okay. Nothing that's ever happened in culture has ever impacted the church other than it just made it grow, all right? So all the tragedies and all the weird stuff that's happening in culture, all the stuff that's coming up against us, we've got to remain fearless, have compassion, but be fearless. And so I'm going to take you there next week. There's a reference in Hebrews and there's a reference in Revelation, and then it was John that was really concerned about some churches not doing some of the most basic stuff, and some Christians not knowing some of the most basic things about their faith. So whether you want to call it Christianity 101, or like the Apostle John referred to in Revelations, doing your first works, we're going to get to that next week. But you know, you don't know how many kids at T-ball, when I had sinned somehow, and my kids signed up, and that was my punishment, I guess, for having them. Because none of my kids ever cared about baseball. They threw rocks. They peed off the second base in the middle of a game. One of my kids was extremely interested in butterflies when we signed him up for T-ball. I don't know what happened. So he would wander off. But one of the things I constantly saw was kids run a home run, their grandparents taking pictures, hooping and hollering. You got that one umpire on first base going, "He didn't touch first base. He's kind of wandered over to second, to the kid peeing." We got to get back to the basics. A lot of you, I fear, well, let's just look at this. So the reason I'm telling everybody online and you today, and we're at a church. The majority of the people here are believers already. So here's why this, I got to talk about this before I move on to the other parts like serving and giving and temptation and the Bible. Can you trust it? Why do we pray when God's already the boss? So I'll get on to those. But before I do, I want to do this topic today. It's from John 3. It's very familiar. I'm going to go line by line and show you some very important things Jesus had to say about salvation. But the reason I'm bringing it up, although most of you are saved, here's the thing. Some of you are not. You never touched first base. You've been baptized, you joined church, you're doing all church stuff, but you truly have not invited Christ to forgive you of your sins, and that one time on purpose, on your own, without being pushed, you didn't do that. Number two, I'm doing it so that you can be secure. So we talked about this. I'm the guy that bucks the Baptist language, and I'm the guy that goes against probably some of the charismatic Pentecostal theories on can you lose your salvation. I'm right in the middle. I'm very comfortable with my belief that if you are saved, you will always be saved. If you are saved. If, right, Danny Boy? So if you're saved, I believe you'll always stay saved. Trust me, there's been time after time after time, Honey Mama has wanted to unbirth our boys. Did you say where I said that? I didn't say unalive. I said, just erase that part of my life. You can't be unbirthed. You can change your name, change your location. You still got the same DNA. All right? That's a topic for another discussion. I just don't think some of you are real secure in yours. I mean, there's saved people walking around here right now that don't know what would happen if they were to pass away in a car wreck today. You're not supposed to live that way. You cannot function as an effective believer if you're always wondering, well, if I sin this kind of sin, if I sin a felony sin versus a misdemeanor sin. You know how many people have stopped going to church in some of those really dogmatic churches that use guilt and shame as an evangelism tool? I know several guys that will go nowhere now because they never could be good enough. You know, they never understood grace. Grace saved you, grace keeps you. And the third reason I'm doing this morning is I want to remind you, every one of you are sent. If you're saved, you're sent. And so when I pray that prayer of salvation at the end of this service, if you are not comfortable leading people to Christ, you just need to write it down. Because you're going to have an opportunity, if you pay attention in this life, in this climate, you're going to have an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. She's not here this morning, so I'm going to talk about her. Denali. But, well, I bet she won't ever miss again. Sorry, Denali, I know you're watching. Denali is very sensitive in the public space. So she's in a restaurant one day, and two Jehovah's Witnesses are talking to her, and she said, I was listening. I got to admit, I was nosy. Two Jehovah's Witnesses are witnessing to this kid. And so she takes me. I said, well, start praying. Or maybe she told me. She was just fixing to pray. And so she waited till the Jehovah's Witness got up and walked off. And it was just like she Jesus-fied this guy. She followed him around the campus till she had an opportunity to talk to him. She was going to undo what the Jehovah's Witness had tried to do this kid. The kid started witnessing to her. He was already a Christian. It was awesome. And so I want you to be able to do that and be comfortable. Be saved or be secure and know how to share your faith. So let's do this. John chapter 3. It's going to take just a little bit to get through the reading. I will put the verses that I'm referring to in my taglines as I'm making statements. We may not have time to read all of them. This is a two-parter. John 3. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was very influential. And he came to him at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, and nobody can perform these signs you do unless God were with him. Okay, and they didn't deny that. I mean, people, Jesus was raising people from the dead, changing water into wine, which is what the Catholics do. I know. I'm an equal opportunity destroyer. And I know the Catholics don't recognize evangelicals' doctrine, but you Baptists don't recognize everybody in the liquor store either. Jesus replied, hey, you know what? Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He is absolutely clueless at that point, Nick was. How can anyone be born when he's old? That's a great question. Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time to be born? He was just confused. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, unless somebody's born of water, that's your mama, and then of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, that's Jesus, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Don't be amazed that I tell you that you must be born again. Hey, an example, the wind blows, you don't understand it. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Nicodemus is confused. He said, and this is for Jesus, I'll prove this in just a second. Jesus said, are you a teacher? Are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know what I'm talking about? Jesus replied, truly I tell you, we speak what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. Well, he wasn't saved. He couldn't understand the spiritual things. If I have told you If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how in the world can you believe what I'm telling you about heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven. No one has ascended into heaven unless the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And I just massacred that. I'm going fast. Lots of coffee this morning. Been a long week, people. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, and so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What's that? That's the reference to the cross. So that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Uh-oh, here it is. You recognize this one? All your babies better already memorized it. I don't care if they're 6 months. For God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Well, we just got to pause on that, and that's a good one, ain't it? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. You're saved. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned. And man, yeah, that's terrible. That's the one thing you don't have to do anything. If you want to continue on a road without Christ, without heaven in your future, do nothing. Do nothing. That place called hell was never prepared for anybody in this room, anybody in this world. It was prepared as a punishment for the demonic realm, including Satan himself. But so many of us have made the choice to be there with them, and that's a terrible, terrible thought. So whatever you want to call it today, being saved, salvation, converted, born again, becoming a Christian, follower of Jesus, there's a lot of terms that are synonymous, but let's look at this scripture a little bit more in depth. Look at the familiar text. I call this an origin story because if you remember, was it Nickelodeon? See, they did a show about him. It's called Nick at Night. Uh-huh. I'm looking at a particular hair color right now that's going, uh-huh. I just got the eye from a blonde, so I'll move on. What about Nick at Night? He was definitely a spiritual leader. God had already started to work on him because he was curious. And remember that scripture where Christ tells us, hey, nobody can come to the Father, nobody can come to me unless he's drawn. So Nick was already curious. And that curiosity, we've seen that curiosity in a lot of people over the last few weeks, right? There are some non-Christians, because of Charlie Kirk's death, there's some non-Christians speaking about Christ in favorable form. Now they don't know what they're, that's okay. But what they witnessed and what they have witnessed, and with that revival, especially among you younger folks, is that there's something going on here. You know, there's something going on. And I heard this about a preacher in England, I guess it was Spurgeon. They asked, because, I mean, talk about building problems. They were running thousands upon thousands upon thousands when he became pastor a long time ago. But one of the other preachers in the town said, well, what are you doing? Why are all these people coming to your church? And he said, well, said something to this nature. He said, well, I just believe if you light a fire with the gospel in your pulpit, people are going to see the smoke and come figure out what's going on. And I think the same thing happens in our own lives as Christians. Somebody sees you respond to a tragedy differently than the way a lost person does. Man, when people that have no Jesus, when people die in their families, they go to such pains at the memorial and the graveside, and it bothers me because I'm wondering, are you assuming you'll never see him again? Why would you assume you? Why don't you give your life to Jesus? It's tough doing a non-believer's funeral. It's even tougher if the people there are mostly unsaved. Because what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to teach them how to say goodbye forever. Well, I ain't down with that. There's some of you crazy suckers, I know I'm going to spend in heaven, but it's big, I can hide from you. But there's this curiosity that you create based on your activities and your actions and your responses to bad things happening in your life that makes people curious. And that's where he was. He was very fearful, though. You know who he was fearful of? He was fearful of those people that were his peers, those other preachers. And, man, he had to make some decisions. Of course, we know he got saved. This is a preview, but he did get saved. He was one of the ones that helped Jesus after his death. But he was clueless. He said, how in the world can anyone be born when he's old? I think this is a perfect example. I'm slow and I even get it. But Jesus is talking about, you know, age doesn't matter when it comes to your salvation birth. Everybody in the room's got to have two births. I hope you've had two births. Your mama gave birth to you. And whose kid is that? Darla, do something with your grandkid. It doesn't matter how old you are. You got to be born twice. Spiritual birth, that's when you receive Jesus, and then your date of birth. But he was clueless. And then he was kind of punked by Jesus, sort of. Just a little bit. Jesus lets him talk, ask questions. And by the way, that's why we do the young adults. He was teaching through discussion. He was teaching through questions. Everything was not scripted there. It was off the cuff. Jesus knew what this man needed, and he responded to his questions. But he kind of got punked a little bit. Jesus did point out just a little bit of kind accountability. Hey, you're a teacher? And you don't know what I'm talking about? You're a spiritual leader to the Jewish people, and you don't know what I'm talking about. It was kind of one of those backhanded compliments. When I taught school, kids have zero. There is no screen door between their brain and their mouth. No filter. One kid, we was at some FFA dance or something, and I was dancing with some student, female student. I just think it's important to point that out. You know what she told me? Because it was so hot in there. She said, Mr. Moore, you sure don't sweat much for a fat man. But, thank you. He kind of punked him. But about being saved, here's some stuff we need to remember. Jesus said that the relationship, to have a relationship with the Father, we got to be saved. So we're that sounds a whole lot to me, something like what Jesus already said. Jesus is very exclusive. This stuff about inclusivism and there's certain denominations that believe eventually everybody will be saved, that God's grace is going to pour out whether you ask him for forgiveness or not. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So we got all these other world religions now, and a lot of progressive Christians, which is stupid. They're neither progressive nor Christian. There's some around here. They're mainstream denominations, some of the older ones, and they've drifted. But Jesus said, I understand you got Muslim friends. I understand you may have Hindu friends. I understand you may have these friends of yours that are new age that are going to kind of combine all the religions and put them in there, including Christianity. Jesus says, I'm sorry, that's not how you get to heaven. Just the Father. And boy, when Jesus said that statement in John 14:6, it just blows everything out of the water that you guys are facing, especially you younger folks, 40s and under, that, oh no, it doesn't matter where you go to church. It doesn't matter what religion you are, as long as you're something. That is a pile of whatever's down there in our arena. And Mr. After 4,500 billion scary little angry bulls this week, there's a bunch of it down there. Jesus said, look, There's no other, it's grace. I want to forgive you. I proved you to that, or that to you when I died on the cross. Jesus said, there are clearly two births. We've already talked about that. But Jesus said, ultimately, for you to be saved, number one, you need to be a human. There's a different set of rules for angels that were created. But Jesus said, okay, so you've got the first birth down, your mama. And then he said, but guys, ultimately, to receive that spiritual birth, you're going to have to come to faith. You're going to confess, repent, and believe that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. Let me talk a little bit about this. There's a statement there that Jesus would make in John 3:16. There is nothing in here. I know right now we've got two in seminary. We got Miss Joanna, got the man, Christopher. And that's why they're going to be tired for the next 3 years of their life, is they're both going to take Greek. And then you'll notice that later, two of these people will be laughing at me as I'm destroying up here a Greek word that I'm trying to pronounce. It's like me going to an Italian restaurant and ordering all that. God so loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone believe in him, not perish, but he have eternal life. It is clearly your choice. You have to take the step to believe. And I'll address some of the fallacies pertaining to that, but listen, before I end, I've got to tell you, how do we become saved, born again? Here's just an interesting, this is kind of my shade tree, shallow little rancher preacher brain, but I believe a definition that most of us could track is salvation occurs when we recognize that who we are, sinners, and embrace Jesus for who he is, the Savior, and ask him to forgive us and change us. Acts 20:21, I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Confession / repentance and faith. That's it. Have you done that? So I said there's three reasons we're doing this. First two is so you would be saved. Or number two, so that you would be secure. So those of you that are doubters, have you done that? Well, then what are we worrying about? Well, I sinned some. We shipped 300 yearlings on Friday. We sinned a lot. And I did not go to bed on Friday night and go, well, I don't know. I was just a bad kid. He didn't kick me out of his love and his care. This is an intentional and deliberate decision, meaning your grandmother cannot get you saved. Doesn't matter how many times you participate in communion, that will not save you. Doesn't matter how many times you join a church or say a prayer or get baptized, that don't save you. That don't save you. So salvation ultimately happens when the cure, that's Jesus, becomes the answer to our problem. We all have the same problem. Our problem is we're sinners. Did you realize that even the Apostle Paul, for all of those of you that were come out of churches that believe in sinless perfection, there are doctrines in evangelical churches that believe once you get saved, you don't sin anymore. Again, they should have been there Friday. Even Quill was cussing. I'm kidding. We're not. I don't want y'all to think we ain't church people. We're really not. I'm just your preacher. No, I mean, seriously, we all got the same problem, sin. Even the Apostle Paul said, after he was years into his ministry, he said, I am the chief of sinners. He did not say, I once was the chief of sinners. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And Martin Luther, great Martin Luther, said this, the recognition of sin is the beginning of salvation. What is our solution to that? Romans 3:24, they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Basically this, our responsibility is to ask. Our responsibility is to ask. And this is gonna happen at Barry's age, 1777. We baptized, I think she was in her 90s. We really messed up. It's Brett, he ain't here. We left the hot water on too long. And she got in there and said, I'm hot. I said, yes, ma'am, you're beautiful. She said, no, I'm hot. And I stuck my finger in there. It's like coffee. We baptized her at the end of that service, after we put ice from the kitchen in there. But she was so thankful to be hitting a new life in her 90s. Saved, born again. This can happen in different manners. Anybody that thinks you gotta go down to your church house to get saved, you're way off. One of the most embarrassing moments of my Crossbrand life, had a lady tell me she wanted to get baptized. So I said, well, wait, are you saved? Tell me about that. I'm standing there by myself. Usually I have a female if I'm talking to a female. She says, well, I was naked. I'm looking around. There ain't no elder. There ain't no lay pastor. None of my prayer partners. And all I could say was, amen. I just wish people get to the first part of the story instead of put saved as last. She says, I was naked in my hot tub. And I go, okay. You boys be careful. Appreciate y'all. And anyhow, she said, I was saved in a hot tub. I've seen people saved horseback. I've seen people saved in a John Deere tractor. I've seen people pull over on the side of the road and invite Christ to save them and change them. And then I've seen a bunch of it here. I've seen it at rodeos. Guys, there is no such thing as a cookie cutter reality in a salvation experience. We're all different. We're all different. Hey, I want to go ahead and wrap up, because some of your kids had their teachers tied up with rope last week because I went over 5 minutes. And how your kids know to tell time, I don't know. But even at four, they know. There is a great Crowder song, and I just want you to hear this. Come out of sadness wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Beautiful song, great theology though, great theology. Today, once again, I ask you three questions. Number one, are you saved? Have you been born again? Our prayer team's gonna ease on up here right now. And I want you to, if you got questions about it, we want you to be saved today. Don't leave this without being secure. Number two, if you're saved and you're constantly struggling with doubt, I pray you'll humble yourself today, find one of these prayer partners, and let them pray with you. There's many reasons people doubt their salvation. We talked about that last Wednesday night up here. And then finally, if for some reason right now the Lord has spoken to you and said, remember that lady at the store? You had an opportunity, an open door, and you passed her up. You've had other opportunities with family members. You have opportunities, many of you daily at work, because if somebody ever brings up Charlie Kirk again, at some point there is a door for you to walk through and tell them the good news. It may be tricky at first, but there's always that door. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm gonna ask you right now to please, well, one, protect those first responders that just drove off. Protect Danny Brown as he does his judicial duties, as he had to walk out. I pray, Father, if there's someone here that doubts their salvation, don't let them leave here. If there's someone that knows for sure, you've made it very clear, they're not saved. Good people can be unsaved people. I pray that you'll release any questions and you'll open the eyes of their heart, and today they will simply say, Jesus, I'm a mess, please change me, forgive me. Father, you're a good God. You are faithful to us even when we aren't faithful to you. And we praise you and thank you for that fact. God, you've been so good to Crossbrand, the people in it, And I pray your mercy and continued blessings on our people. In Christ's name, amen. God bless y'all.
HLEradio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.